What the fuck is up, everybody? It's your boy Tony here. I am one half of your favorite fat duo with my other half, Mr. Austin. Austin, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing great. The rear end on our food truck exploded, and I'm trying to hunt one down, so that's been completely miserable.
Fuck. Dude, I'm sorry, bro. That sucks dick.
Yeah, 2 weeks out from inspection. We thought we were finally done. We're real excited. Driving down the road. Gone.
Dude, that fucking blows. I'm sorry, dude. No, that like, all jokes aside, that really does suck. That fucking sucks. But, I mean, okay, to be fair, dude, that's worse than this State of the Union address or whatever we want to call it. That shit was terrible. So I imagine you watched it. For those of you that are now tuning in, if you are easily offended, you're just now finding us, or you have a problem with us, now is the time to tune out. So we're going to be talking about the State of the Union address, or as I like to call it, the State of the Divided address. Because right now, we all know America is more divided than it's ever been. People will try to argue with you, but just remember, we have the internet now, so it's not like in the 70s where you can go to the fucking library. That being said, you've been warned. If you don't like what you hear from here, don't fucking say anything, dude. Okay, so that being said, State of the Union address. I watched about 25 to 30 minutes of it, if that. I'm not gonna lie, dude. I kind of fucking zoned out because it was, again, man, it was the same shit as it always is, which is, let's bash the other side. Republicans do it too. They're not safe. Republicans have done it too. But, dude, it's the same old, the right winger terrorists, they're January 6th insurrectionists, or whatever. It's never, what can we do to fix our country? It's always, here's what I've done good. Here's who sucks. And that's fucking it. So I tuned the fuck out, dude. I don't know. What's your take on this shit? You are muted, my friend.
There we go. It's just another showing of just dark Biden and a bunch of divisive nonsense. He literally opens his speech, the first 30 seconds, claiming that Republicans want to destroy freedom. And that's because that's his only sell, Tony. He's been one of the worst presidents in modern history, and his only sell is, the Republicans are so bad, they're so evil, that you'd rather have me, a dead person, as president, because the other people are going to destroy the country.
Yeah, that's been the fucking... Dude, that was exactly what I got out of it. And hear me out, hear me out. So, I really was trying to not necessarily stoop to the Democratic left's level, but more or less understand where we're going with this. And it's the same old shit, dude. It's just, let's attack the other side. Let's blame the other side. Let's not do anything to fix our fucking situation. Blah, 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 blah. And dude, tell me not, just like any other fucking time that he does these, you could tell he was... All right, hold on, hold on. I'm about to fuck this whole thing up. Just listen to me. Hear this out. Anytime a political speaker goes on stage, they read from a teleprompter. Correct. We know that now. However, I judge a man based on how well he can make it look like he's not reading off of one. Biden makes it very obvious he's reading off of one. Trump did it too. Don't you little bitches start getting excited. Trump did it too. However, you could just fucking tell, dude, the entire time he's doing this. Like, dude, the fucking fact that everyone took this shit seriously is even funnier. And you hear this the entire time. 4 more years. 4 more years. Like, please, dude, fucking no. And all right, let me close my little argument rant up by saying this. It does not matter if you are left or right. You're a dumbass if you approve this message. This fucking idiot and everything he said, if you approve that, you're a moron. You have to think outside the box. It, again, this has nothing to do with left or right, dude. It's clearly this motherfucker can't do his job. But for whatever reason, we still pretend like he can.
Yeah, and the big thing is he goes straight from Republicans are evil and disgusting and horrible and destroying the country to, oh, yeah, you know how we made it so you can't murder your children in the womb? Oh, yeah, that's a horrible, horrible thing. Women should be able to murder their children anytime they want. Alabama's horrible. We should be able to murder babies and chop them up and suck them up with a vacuum cleaner and flush them down a drain. It's gross, disgusting, and two for two on the opening statements of this gross, nasty, vindictive garbage. Nasty.
You're right. It's gross. No, you're right. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Keep going.
And then after that, he goes, you know, he goes from here to,
you guys, come on, man. Like, you know, the economy, man, it's really good. We passed an infrastructure bill, man. You know, and anybody out there saying that the economy's bad, they're dog-faced pony soldiers.
And it's like, do you feel like the economy is good? Are you feeling a growth in your wages? Are you feeling like you have more money now than you did 4 years ago? Do you feel like you're better off now than you were 4 years ago? The answer is, by polling data, nearly 80% of Americans say no. But well, yet he can get on stage and tell everybody, no, you're wrong. You're wrong, man. Like, the economy's good. It's great. It's good. I promise. Don't listen to your lying eyes.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to be honest, man. So, I didn't watch this shit when it was live. And here's why. It goes back to what I was saying about this really is like a divided country, but it's more or less the problem I have with it is that it really is just kind of like a progress report, if you will. It's to pat the dude on the back. And this goes for any fucking president, because I've never really been a fan of the State of the Union address. I'm just being honest. So all it is to me is you're patting this guy on the back and he's going to tell you, this is what we did. This is what we're going to do. This is what we should have done, which is fine. It makes sense, you know, but to me, it's really just all about explaining the structure of the country currently versus what we're going to do and blah, blah, blah. And I get it. It's important to a lot of people, but to me, it's just showboating. It's to show that, oh, this guy's doing a great job. And that goes for any side, but you can see it very clearly tonight. Dude, these people were like dressed for the fucking Oscars. And again, this guy goes up and he's just like, ugh. Like, you can barely understand a word he's fucking saying. However, you can tell when he has talking points that are drilled down for us. So Republicans are the reason for insurrection, and this country needs to move forward, and I'm the guy to do it. And again, dude, like, we know he's not in charge. We know he's not fucking making the rules around here, clearly. But if that's your best offer for how it looks presentation-wise, it's pretty fucking bad. But again, and they're doing what both sides do, which I've already established numerous times on the show. I'm kind of a hippie at heart, but I do lean a little right. Now, that being said, Austin is Republican. So Austin can tell you from the bottom of his heart that both sides kind of use the same tactic, in which it's like, hey, how do we draw attention to ours? One of them is bashing the other side. And Austin can also tell you that that doesn't work, because it may work for those people that are like, yeah, yeah, Trump, yeah, all excited. However, those intellectuals, whether, again, whether it's left or right, there's intellectuals out there. And it doesn't matter if they're Democrat or they're registered Republicans. They look at that stuff and they do critique it. They do look at it like, I don't know if I want this guy running my country. I'm not happy with what he's done. Again, they're looking at it from a critical standpoint. It has nothing to do with left or right. That comes next. The first part is they're looking at it like, okay, how am I supposed to subscribe to a message that just fully focuses on shitting one side rather than, hey, you know what? You guys are right. We've heard you. It's time to lower the cost of some things. I would give more respect if it was a Democrat that talked about shit that mattered, shit that needs to be addressed, and shit we're going to fucking fix versus fuck that side. They're both gay. You know, like, that's how I feel about it, dude. I don't want to fucking hear about how evil Republicans are. I don't want to hear about how fucking scummy Democrats are. I just want to hear about what the fuck we're going to do to fix our country. And I'm fired up about it because, again, it's another fucking message about let's shit on the other side, not what the fuck are we going to do to fix this country.
Well, instead we're going to talk about how we want to that people want to protect Obamacare being so great for our country and how it helped so many people by raising their premiums and kicking them out of their doctor's office. And,
oh, fuck, yeah. No, dude, it's fucking stupid. I mean, I've said this before, too. I may not be a Biden fan, but he is running the office. So that being said, I would like it if he could prevail. So naturally, I want him to be successful. I don't like him as a person. I don't give a fuck about his morals and values. But as the man that's basically running the doomsday button, I want this motherfucker to sound like he knows what he's doing. And I'm not saying that Biden doesn't know what he's doing, because clearly in the past, when he was coherent, he knew what he was doing. How the fuck else did he get there? But you got a guy that's weakened at Bernie's. He doesn't know what he's doing. You've got people that are working the strings for the puppeteer, and their only fucking reaction to anything America has said to them is, yes, Republicans, evil. And dude, I'm critical when Republicans do it too. I'm very critical. Like, hey, let's not spend so much time talking about how evil the trans agenda is and shit. Like, I agree, it's fucked up. But why can't we focus on how we can fix our country? That's my biggest thing. You don't get that from these. Now that I've said all that I've said, minus like the ranting, like, I gotta be honest.
No, but Tony, what makes me upset is he starts his speech, Republicans are the enemies of democracy. They are going to kill our country. And then by the end of his speech, he's going, oh, but why can't we work together? Why can't we reach out and do things together? Because if you're first, you're the front or the back of your.
Well, now you've muted yourself.
Okay, microphone came unplugged. The front of his speech is literally, oh, this is great. These people are so evil, they're going to kill us and kill everybody and end our country. And your second half of your speech is we should work together. That doesn't make any sense. Right. It doesn't mesh. It doesn't cohere. So which one is true? Do you want to work together, or are these people actively working to destroy democracy and destroy our country? You have to pick. You can't have both twice. And the American people understand that you can't have both. And what they take from this is that he is villainizing people for his own political personal gain and is actively working to promote himself no matter what he has to say or what he has to do to do it. And it's all for selfish reasons. The American people see this, and it's coming forth in his it's proving itself in the polls, where he's underwater by 11, 12, 13%. In some polls, he's 20% underwater on his approval rating. Now, people understand.
Yeah, exactly. I think that people are coherent enough to know that this man isn't coherent. The problem is, dude, is this same side of the room just bashes the other side to the point where even the most logical person is like, how the fuck do I vote for Trump when all I know all these evil things about him or whatever? And my answer is always the same. Every politician is crooked in some way. You have to look at it like this. And I use this example all the time. People don't like Trump because he paid a hooker to keep her mouth shut. A porn star to keep her mouth shut, right? Here's my answer to that. I don't care who he's fucking and how he's doing it. I care what he's doing to my country. I care nothing about what he's doing for fun. I don't even care, dude, if he's sitting there looking up to Chuck Norris, who's like my hero. I don't give a fuck. I don't want to know that stuff. I want to know what he's doing to fix our fucking country. And the problem is, again, you have these guys that they hear this shit and they're like, okay, the right sucks. The left is terrible. Where the fuck do I go? We have two we have two outcomes of that. One is they vote for the side that they're married to because it makes sense to them. The other one is they just don't vote at all. And then they fit into that category of people that they don't vote, which is, believe it or not, a wide gap of people. But because of that wide fucking gap, we get idiots like Biden. Not enough people are voting. I laugh at people that are like, oh, that voting shit, that ain't real. That ain't for me. Like, yeah, it is actually. Every single person matters. People don't understand that because they don't actually pay attention. You have to know what you're looking at. You need to be not just informed, but you need to actually understand those talking points that you support. That just caught me off guard. Are you drinking tea?
What am I not drinking tea, to be honest?
No, I know. I was just like, that's tea.
I'm so happy they brought back. So they used to have these in the gallons.
Yeah.
And they took them away and only had the like individual serving bottles. I can't do just an individual serving bottle.
Yeah.
So they brought these back like a week ago, and I'm so excited.
Well,
Milo's sponsor us.
Is it Milo's or Milo's?
Milo's.
Okay, so Milo's is fucking phenomenal.
So Milo's is an old barbecue restaurant in South Alabama.
Okay. Well, that explains it, because I love sweet tea. I love green tea. I love peach tea. I love any type of tea. I even love fast food variations, and you know what I'm talking about. Like, totally.
The McDonald's sweet tea is great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Popeyes has good sweet tea when it's not completely disgustingly sour. Church's has good sweet tea. Yeah, that's it.
I like Raising Cane's tea a little bit. They're not amazing, but...
No, you're right. Raising Cane's is pretty good. KFC's tea sucks. Whataburger has great tea, and so does Zaxby's, but they're not here in Denver area, so...
It's a bit off topic, but we have to do a Whataburger versus, like, fucking In-N-Out Burger, like, episode, because, dude, for whatever reason, the two clash, and I like both, but I'm definitely more of a Whataburger guy. It's
the rivalry as old as time. It's Texas versus California.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, I mean it's the oldest rivalry in American history. Texas and California. Fuck those guys in California, and the Californians all screaming fuck those guys in Texas. Their populations 1 and 2. Their economies are 1 and 2. They compete about everything, and that does not exclude hamburgers. But when In-N-Out serves a cup of gravy, then they can come talk to me.
I will say this: no matter what brand it is, California has a way of doing something that's creative and innovative in a sense, which is nice. Like, that's cool, right? It's a little different, but Texas has a way of being innovative but sticking to their roots, which is why I prefer Whataburger. I mean, I got to be honest. I think a lot of it is bias too. I had Whataburger a little before I had In-N-Out because as a kid, we would travel through Texas a lot or we would stay in Texas somewhere. So, I mean, I was exposed to that earlier. I had In-N-Out when I was like 19 or 18 and I liked it, but.
Oh yeah. In-N-Out's good. Yeah, either right? of these hamburgers are bad. I would very happily eat either one of these. But you go to Whataburger, you get a number one with right. cheese and a large sweet tea. You can put that up against anything In-N-Out has up and down the two-piece menu.
Well, pretty much. I mean, I'm a fat boy at heart, so like I'll eat anything that will satisfy me.
And I respect In-N-Out for being like, we're gonna make hamburgers and French fries. We're going to try hamburgers. They do really well. The French fries kind of suck, but I really respect them. We're going to do hamburgers and fries. We're going to do them really good. And that's all we're going to do. We're not going to goop around and play around with a bunch of other stuff.
You know, we got to do a, we've done plenty of like tasting episodes, but we definitely got to do like a,
we need to do fast food hamburgers.
Yeah. Like a tier list of sorts, which thank you for you guys that have been, paying attention to those. Ironically, we're a podcast that's mostly known for being controversial because we talk about politics, but there's those few people that find us and they like the tier ranking and all that, and they're willing to get past the politics, which is fucking cool because they've said like, hey, less politics, more tier ranking, or if you're gonna rank something, do a tier. For whatever reason, tier lists are extremely popular, and I can understand it. I mean, I've said it numerous times on the show. I watch YouTube videos where they do tier list rankings of like best sequels, worst threequels, and shit like that. Like, you can be creative with those. So for those of you that like those, we thank you and we are listening. We're going to be doing more of those for sure. I'm not saying that Great Girth formula is going to change. It is going to be updated though. You're still going to get your politics from us, whether it's something you want or not. However, you're going to get more tier ranking too, because I've been saying this for years. Austin feels the same way. There's more than meets the eye to a person. Just because someone's got a political background doesn't necessarily mean that they're not a person. I'm a conservative, but dude, I love all types of Hunter S. Thompson hippie shit. I've had my drug days, unfortunately. But thank you for those of you that love those and have made it very known that you love them. So because of that, definitely more coming. And I got to take this moment to say thank you to those of you that took the time to like a meme reel that I made. So I found this reel on Instagram and it was Obama and it says, them, are your friends racist? And then it's me as Obama. He's like, not really, maybe it's classified. Like, it's kind of funny, right? 10-second clip. I turned it into a reel and a TikTok and whatever. And, like, dude, at first, it only had 51 views, which is pretty average for most of our reels. I hate to say that on the show, but that's just kind of where we're at. But this is one of those reels that, and we get one once every week that just skyrockets. And this did. Like I said, the first night, it was 51 views. I went to bed. I had the weekend to me the next day. So I didn't even check my phone until midday on Saturday. And it was like at 7,100. I was like, damn. And then I let it go. Well, I posted a picture like, hey, thank you guys for driving this. Because while I understand the importance of TikTok, YouTube does a little more for us, especially more than Spotify. So if you're listening to this, I ask you and I beg you, go to YouTube. I do like Spotify. They're where our home is, but they don't do a lot for us like YouTube does. So I'm sorry, but like when I put an episode on Spotify, it gets 4 views. If I put it on YouTube, it gets anywhere between 20 to like 200. So sometimes thousands, but our reels are where it's at and people love them. And this one in particular, 7,100. Today, it's at like 8,900. Just a 10-second clip. We've already got like 16 subscribers because of it, and they're watching our videos, giving us amazing feedback. So I just wanted to take the time to say thank you guys for driving that. I know it doesn't sound like it's correct, but every comment we get, whether it's good or bad, every like we get, it drives that reach. So thank you guys for supporting the show. More to come. Not right now, but pretty soon we will have a program where you can donate. A lot of guys do this, and we were very skeptical of doing it because we wanted to have a following. We have a very, very small following that can allow us to achieve some sort of success. So pretty soon, keep your ears and your eyes peeled. We are going to have a Cash App or program of sorts where you can donate money, and that money will be used to fund the show. Better camera product, better product all around, dude. We're going to have better sound, everything. So thank you guys for keeping the show going. This is completely user-funded. Well, right now it's owner-funded, but I'd like to make it user-funded. Anyway, moving on.
This program brought to you by a viewer like you.
Basically, you're finding us now. Thank you.
The ghetto kids would get that reference.
Basically. I hate to do this, but I've had like 5 beers, so I gotta use the restroom real quick. Austin, can you keep this going for a second?
Yeah.
All right, I'll be right back.
Now, Tony didn't get my PBS Kids reference there. Freaking. I looked up the other day what shows are on PBS Kids now, right? See, PBS Kids, the official website here. I have not watched PBS since I like left high school. Let's see. Do I recognize any of these let's see. Spin the Wheel. Oh, there's that freaking Sid the Science Kid. Old Sid's still up there, bud. Martha Speaks. Martha was an average dog. Cat in the Hat's got a show on the PBS now. Are these all shows for all time? There's freaking Curious George. Arthur? Is Arthur still in the air?
Constantly fighting their whole team. Every fight. Leave me to die.
See, Arthur. On PBS.
I guess it's good. You guys are.
Yeah, so Arthur, I'm trying to see where it ended. Yeah, holy God, did you know, Tony, did you know that Arthur only stopped airing in 2022? They had new episodes in 2022 for Arthur.
I'm going to be honest. I've seen this show. I love it. I watched like the first couple seasons. I didn't even know they were still going. I thought that shit ended in like 2017, 2018. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's when I thought it ended.
Did you watch Postcards from Buster?
No. Am I missing anything?
Yeah, well, no. So you remember in Arthur's friend, the white rabbit, Buster?
Yeah.
For like 8 years, there was a show where he'd go to like places all around the world and send postcards back to Arthur, and it was like teaching you about like other countries' cultures and like all kinds of stuff. It wasn't too bad. It's kind of cool.
You know, I haven't watched any of the like we're talking about two different shows. Never mind.
Are you?
I thought you were talking about Archer.
No, Arthur, the every day when you're walking down the street.
Right. No, I know what you're talking about, but I'm like Archer. So Arthur have new episodes in 2022. Hold on. Pull up a Google image.
Of Arthur?
We can just.
Well, the 2022 episodes, I wonder what they did. I bet you it sucks. I know they look good, but I bet you it sucks.
Dude, it looks exactly the same.
This I gotta see. Oh, it does, yeah.
Yeah, it's literally just like better, like the picture quality is slightly better. The animation, the art is all still the same.
Right, I was gonna say it's like HD, but it's about the same. I didn't know they made new fucking, that's crazy. That's a show that I had been telling Chanel for the longest time they would do some fucking good if they brought it back.
Yeah, it aired, first show aired in October of 96. The last show ended in February 2022.
Well, they had to have taken a break between that, right?
Nope. It's continuous.
It's still fucking going? Dude, I thought it ended.
No, it ended in 2022. So 2 years ago is the very last episode in February 2022.
Bro, I legit thought this shit ended in like 2000, 2001. I had no idea it was still going.
Yeah, I thought they were just airing reruns there.
Me too. I'm like, what the fuck? I wonder what they're teaching kids now, though. Don't bully. Don't push. Don't make fun of rainbow colors. Don't talk
about it. Did you know that rat, the teacher, was gay?
No, but I had heard like...
I remember in some of the later episodes, he got married to a dude or something.
That's why I've never seen it. Just kidding. No, I had heard the rumblings about it because it's a fan theory that started way back a long time ago. It makes sense, though. I mean, dude, you can argue against the woke shit all you want. If you really look at it, a lot of the older stuff we had as kids was very woke. I tell people this all the time. Even the most conservative-based shows and movies were in some way woke. So, I mean, it wouldn't really shock me. However, I'm fucking blown away by the fact that they had been going on for that long. I thought that shit ended in the fucking 2000s, dude. That's a mind blow right there. I have no fucking clue. That is crazy.
Yeah,
that's fucking nuts, dude. But I haven't really been, like, watching a lot of newer stuff. I think the reason why is because a lot of the newer stuff we get is either woke or it dabbles into, like, the modern era of entertainment, which is typically, like, multiverse or remakes. There's not a lot of original stuff going on, so I tend to gravitate towards the stuff I grew up watching or stuff that I love dearly. Currently, I'm rewatching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia for like the third time this year, but it's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, I'm watching Blue Bloods.
Yeah, dude, some of the older stuff is actually good, especially when you rewatch it, because you catch things that you didn't know existed. Like, you just catch it on the fucking fly.
Like, I just got audibly assaulted.
Wait, what?
I'm on the PBS website because I was talking about like what episodes are. If you hover over the all games button on this damn site, it screams at top of the songs, all games, and it just blew my eardrums out.
Austin's listening. He's like, what the fuck? Dude, have you been, probably not, but have you been watching wrestling at all?
All games! All games!
Fuck that.
That's loud as balls.
All games. It's like a Dora bullshit. Dude, did you ever watch that live action Dora the Explorer?
Oh, hell no.
I was gonna, but then I was like, nah, it's probably stupid. And I read up on it. It's stupid. It's pretty bad. I mean, they only made one years ago, so that tells you something. I don't know, dude. Like,
I saw this one video online of Dora getting deported. It was hilarious. He goes, what's in this backpack, Dora? He pulls out an AK-47. He goes, oh, I see you got everything in this backpack except your green card, Dora. What's with your priorities?
Dude, it's a map laced with fucking fentanyl and shit. Dude, you know what's crazy is Dora is a show that, if I'm not mistaken, It only lasted like a few seasons, right? And then they fucking, yeah, let's look this shit up. It only, as far as I knew, it only lasted a few seasons, but the legacy behind it was huge. So, like, it had the SpongeBob treatment. It had merchandise, spin-off shit, books, you name it. They made, again, a live-action movie. But I think it only lasted, like, what, 4 or 5 years or some shit like that?
19 seasons from August of 2000 to August of 2019.
Again, what the fuck? I didn't know that that was still going. Did they update her at least? Because no fucking kid in this generation carries a backpack with a map. No, dude, it's like I'm Google Maps.
Nope, it's the same. It is the same Dora the whole way. There was a spinoff of when Dora was a teenager.
The fuck? Whoa. Yeah, we all that worked out with Rugrats all grown up.
Dora and Friends. Dora and Friends Into the City. Aired from 2014 to 2017. And then, of course, there's all Go Diego Go. That was from 2005 to 2011.
I didn't think that lasted that long either. I legit thought that was a two-season show. Shows you how much I know.
Well, the problem is half the episode is the exact same episode, and you're just like, oh, you're running a rerun when it's actually brand new.
Yeah, it's the same old shit. Nothing ever changes. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised because just like Barney had a long run, and that's another show that I thought ended after like five seasons, but no, they kept that shit going. Same formula too, dude. I remember like as a kid, there was an episode where they were talking about making friends and it was the gayest shit ever, dude. It's like, we make friends and we play with boys. Dude, yeah, that tells you something. Fucking Barney.
Barney aired from 92 to 2010. That's almost fucking 20 years of Barney.
I'm glad somebody said fuck Barney. Because Barney's evil.
Wow. Do you remember,
there's a document.
Debbie Ryan was in Barney. Learn something every day, I guess.
Well, yeah, like these celebrities started somewhere. I'm sure there's like a little Ryan Gosling running around in the background or something. Bound to be. You're muted, homie.
So on Zoom, if you press spacebar, it just unmutes your mic. On Skype, it works about 80% of the time.
I did find something called Riverside Studio. We might have to try that out. We'll see. Anyway.
So, Barney, the purple dinosaur, is coming back with a new show, an article from NPR. This is in 2023, but it's animated.
Okay. I mean, like, how the fuck else are you supposed to do that anyway with people that want to be interested? So that makes sense. It's just weird. Can I assume that's a new show that's coming up? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's coming out in 2024. So I don't haven't given us a date yet for the Barney animated show. Look at this Barney. This Barney's a little creepy. This Barney looks like he's a registered sex offender.
Let's see this Barney.
This Barney is a registered sex offender.
Yeah.
Well, he's got the same gap in his teeth as Floyd Mayweather. Barney was a boxer.
Floyd Mayweather, he says.
Oh, no, dude, not Mike Tyson, not Floyd Mayweather. Wrong legendary boxer.
I was going to say, dude, Mike Tyson's got the list.
Did you see that episode, that video I sent to you of Mike Tyson boxing at like 60 years old?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. That dude still moves like a fucking, holy cow.
He has a match with Jake Paul, too, that's supposed to air on Netflix in 2025. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, Jake Paul's going to get his ass kicked, isn't he?
Probably. I mean, I understand where people are, like, they only fight retired boxers or MMA fighters. Like, I get the argument. But they're whooping ass, too. And then it depends, though, because you know that fight with Mayweather and Paul? Logan. That one looked very like WWE-ish. It was very scripted. I was like, yeah, this was... I mean, dude, it was more for entertainment factor, so there's that. But the fact that it ended the way it did shows how staged that industry probably is. Because as much as I want to root for the Paul brothers, and yes, I said it, I like the Paul brothers. I just, dude, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. It would be so fucking funny if a couple of YouTubers knocked out some fucking, like, A-list.
No, here's the thing. The Paul brothers, Logan, I'm like, yeah, okay, Logan's actually put the work in to actually be good at what he does. Jake Paul is a fucking loser, and I hate him.
Yes.
Logan Paul seemed like he did some really bad stuff when he was a kid, and he's kind of learned and grown from it and gotten better. Jake seems like he's still a 17-year-old kid, and he's annoying as hell.
Well, I get why people don't like them. You know, like, they do have that, like, toolish personality. But I kind of like it because that's how you break ground, is to really believe that you as an influencer with millions of followers can somehow one-up a famous actor or a famous boxer. Like, that's pretty relevant. That's pretty cool. But at the same time, you got to stay in your lane. Like, this fight, I want Logan Paul to win, sure, but I'm a big Mike Tyson guy. Everybody in their fucking mind is like, Floyd Mayweather, greatest boxer ever. Yeah. I'm like, dude, Muhammad Ali and fucking Mike Tyson. Those are my two. I'm not even a boxing fan, dude. But
motherfucker, he ain't no George Foreman.
George Foreman. But
that is my pick for greatest boxer of all time, is George Foreman. No one had a right hook like George Foreman. No one ever has ever had the pound for pound, punch for punch. The one guy you never want to get punched by ever is George Foreman. My and God. He knows how to grill a really nice cheeseburger low fat. I think if Mike Tyson and George Foreman got in a fight right both in their prime, they would have won. And Mike Tyson agrees with me, because Mike Tyson, when he was getting into boxing, George Foreman came back and wanted to fight him, and Tyson dodged him his entire career. He was scared of him, and they asked Tyson if he fought Foreman, what happened, and Tyson even said in an interview, like Dave Letterman, that he'd knock me out.
I mean, if they're willing to admit it, that says something about him. It really does. That's actually pretty noble. Very, very few athletes will open up their mouth and say, like, you know, this dude will probably put me in my place. Because that's not what you want to do as an athlete, especially when you're supposed to be like an alpha male fighter or whatever. That's the last thing you want to do. But when they're noble enough to say that, it kind of earns them a little bit more respect, in my opinion. I love Mike Tyson, man. Like I said, I'm not a big boxing fan, but I've watched pretty much every fight Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, put on. So I do like boxing to a certain extent. It took Hollywood films for me to like boxing. I know that's not the answer everyone wants to hear, but that really is what, you know, like Rocky and shit, that's what started it for me. And then, you know, you go on to other movies like Bleed for This. That's another good boxing movie. But yeah, boxing films were kind of where I was like, yeah, because I missed that train, dude. When I was a kid, everybody was talking about boxing. What did you
See here, Tyson's quote. Foreman's the heaviest puncher. I could never match someone's power. Who's that big?
Bold. Who's the... Go ahead, sorry.
No, but like, the thing is, people. When I talk to people, I talk greatest boxer of all time is George Foreman. Always bring up the Rumble in the Jungle. But again, that's not George Foreman and Muhammad Ali, both in their primes. I don't think it really should count. But well, I think prime for prime, George Foreman knocks anybody out.
Well, Muhammad Ali is kind of an unfair pick because most boxing fans refer to him as the God, which I understand why. He's one of the few boxers in his time that reached that type of celebrity status. I'm talking, he was at WrestleMania. He was going to WCW fucking Collision in Korea. He was doing all types of stuff. It wasn't just boxing. He was a household name. And in fact, I had to learn from my father that his name was Cassius Clay before he changed it to Muhammad Ali. I didn't know that. And I like this figure so much as a historical person that I refuse to watch any autobiography movie about him. I've never read any books on him. I don't want my vision of him to be like fucking clouded with shitty stuff, because you learn that about every celebrity. I mean, dude, they're people like us. That was something that I wanted to touch on with this episode, which was like, I noticed that a lot of people fucking respect and obsess and follow as well as worship celebrities. I get it. It's the end thing to do when you're a kid. I mean, I was a teenager at one point. So were you. So, I mean, we all did it. But I feel like too many people kiss these people's asses, dude. Because they're people just like us. They make mistakes. They say stupid things. Like, here's a good example. I was reading a tabloid. It was an interview with I don't know who the fucking guy was, but he was interviewing Jenna Ortega, which is arguably one of the hottest up-and-coming celebrity picks. You know what I mean? And I got to admit, I've seen a couple of her films. I don't think she's a good actress, to be honest with you, but she's one of the newer household names. I mean, she's a young girl, dude. She's already kind of made a name for herself. Well, anyway, I'm listening to this fucking... Well, I'm reading this interview, and she says that she is skeptical on relationships because the media basically shovels out a bunch of shit where, according to her words, the woman always bases her decisions around the man. And I was like, see, this is the problem right here. This is why people shouldn't listen to celebrities, because they hear this shit and they're like, that's how I need to live my life. And then they get pregnant and they wonder why the dude's not sticking around. Don't listen to celebrities. That's the fucking message I'm getting here. I'm like, bro, the last person you should take advice from is a celebrity. Now, when it's about how to be successful, I can kind of understand like taking that advice. Because, I mean, one of my biggest inspirations is Rob Zombie. And he's always said, stay focused, stay obsessed, just keep going. That's all I need, though. I don't need the fucking political digs. I don't need the personal digs. I don't need any of that shit. I just want, like, someone successful to another person who's trying to be successful, tell me what it took for you. Tell me what you did.
Avenues to one of those difficult things to learn in life is learning what advice to take from what people. Yeah. You should not take the advice of a drug dealer on what you should do for, like, if your elbow hurts. Don't do that. But you also shouldn't take advice from a doctor, like a medical doctor, on how to rebuild your engine.
Yes.
And you shouldn't take advice from a mechanic on how to cook the perfect duck breast or whatever.
Yeah.
It's learning what advice to take from which people.
Right. Like, you shouldn't take advice from MGK, the guy that's, like, dating a bunch of different celebrities. Like, that's the worst person you can think of. Pick someone that actually specializes in it, or, I don't know, someone that has had a long-lasting fucking marriage. I mean, who's a good example? Freddie Prinze Jr. I was listening to his podcast, Wrestling with Freddie. I don't know if you knew this, but Freddie Prinze Jr. is not only a wrestling fan, he was also a writer at one point for WWE. Fun fact. Yeah, the guy that did Scooby-Doo. Anyway, he's been married to Sarah Michelle Gellar for, like, a long fucking time, dude. I think they had been dating since, like, in the 90s when they met. So, I mean, that's a success story I'm going to follow. They're both in their 40s, and they're both married still. They have kids. They have a home. They both speak nothing but praises for each other. That's who you probably want to take your advice from.
Yeah, like, if Ben Affleck and J-Lo come to you and go, this is how you should stay married a long time, then you should listen to it. They've been, what do you mean, no? They've been married forever.
Well, they haven't.
What? Am I fucking retarded?
A little bit.
Dude. Apparently.
Well, no, no, no. So Ben Affleck did date Jennifer Lopez, and I'm pretty sure they got married at one point. But they
Married anymore?
Well, they're back together, but they weren't married for a long time. They got a divorce like a long ass time ago. And then he married Jennifer Garner.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Right. They got back together, dude. You're like, I don't know if I want to take that advice from you.
No, I was just fucking sleeping, apparently, for the past, since 2005. I was young. I saw them. I was like, oh, they're together. Cool. And then I looked it up a couple days ago. I was like, oh, they're still together. Awesome. I'm happy they found love.
Wrong.
Yeah, no, dude, they like, I don't know if they were married in the late 90s, early 2000s or whatever, but they like split up and he married Jennifer Garner. And then like 10 years ago, she was like, yeah, our marriage is fucking fake or whatever. And they were amicable about it, but they broke up or whatever. They split apart. And now Ben Affleck is supposedly back with J-Lo. There was like fucking pictures of them together. I mean, I get that. I can understand if you're a person in your 40s or 50s and you're like, you know what? I do kind of want to repair something that I did when I was young. Let's see if we can make it work. Because we were young. We didn't actually know how to deal with this stuff. Maybe we could be people that are meant to be together. However, I kind of feel like if it didn't work out the first time, it's probably not going to work out the second time. So there's that. But I would take advice from the dude that's been with the same woman forever. Or I would take advice from the guy.
No, Samuel L. Jackson and his wife have been married since 1980.
Well, that tells you a lot. That's a guy you want to take advice from because they've been married since before his career.
Oh, damn. Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks have been married for 35 years.
There we go. Again, Tom someone.
That's so cool. What a man. You know, what
was interesting is Matt Damon once said to find someone that's not in the same world as you. So if I'm not mistaken, Matt Damon married a woman that wasn't even a celebrity. She was like an everyday person. They ended up getting a house somewhere that's like in the middle of suburbia or something like that. As far as I know, Matt Damon's not living that lavish lifestyle, even though he's money. And I tend to gravitate towards his message, which is like, dude, don't just jump into shit because you're celebrities. I kind of like that. However, I know that he's not the saint that he paints himself out to be.
Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker are married.
Yeah, they've been married. Are they still married?
Since 1997, they've been married, and they have 4 kids.
There's an episode on South Park where they're making fun of fucking Sarah Jessica Parker, dude, and they put, like, antlers on her, and she's hanging out in the forest, and Matthew Broderick is, like, talking to a person that's doing, like, a news interview, and they're, like, talking to him, and he's like, my wife is very beautiful. I don't think the book these kids wrote is true. My wife is gorgeous. And they're like, And Mr. Broderick, sir, can you tell us, who is this transvestite donkey witch that's standing behind you? And it's fucking Sarah Jessica Parker, dude.
Did you know that Fred and Velma from the Scooby-Doo movies are married? Sarah Geller and Freddie Prinze Jr. are married.
Yeah, I was just talking about that. That's why I'm like, wait a minute, which ones? And I was like, yeah, I was just saying those people. So, no, yeah, they're married in real life.
Yeah, no. It is one of my favorite things to do because I like to go back and listen. To go back and see and repeat exactly what Tony said, like 5-6 minutes later. Because sometimes he won't catch it that I said the same thing and he'll just keep going.
I've noticed.
And it's one of my favorite things on the planet because I will cry laughing as I'm listening back as you go, yeah.
Well, that's what it happens. Yeah, I'm like listening, like, oh, this motherfucker. Like,
kills me every time.
I was just telling Alex, dude, I was on Ringside Chaos and I was talking about how you and I have like a different dynamic. And I told him, like, you know, what's funny is when people ask about Austin, they usually ask, like, hey, when's Austin going to have another meltdown or a rant? Because Austin's very grounded. He's very quiet. He kind of keeps to himself, unless it's just him and I. Otherwise, if Austin's pissed, then you know all about it. And people love hearing those. So I told Alex, like, sometimes I intentionally fuck with you just to see if I can open up that can of worms. And I'm like, I'm sure Austin knows shit to fuck with me. That would be one of them. Fred and Velma.
Dude. Yeah. Dude. Killed me. Yeah, absolutely. It happens like every other episode. We're all here. Something like, oh, I'm definitely repeating that in about 10 minutes.
I heard you talking shit about TBS when I was leaving. I know what you were saying. Like, like that. He didn't even catch it.
It's half my job. I got to keep you on your toes here, bud.
Pretty much. Dude, I almost, Alex, if you're watching this, man, I didn't invite you just because this was kind of a spur moment thing. Austin and I were supposed to record Saturday. We had some stuff come up, so we were like, hey, let's push it to Sunday. I'm not going to lie. I spent this entire day with my kids and my family and just taking them to the museum, doing white people excuse me. Thank you, Lord. Doing regular people shit. I almost said white people shit. But I had no plan. So I reached out to Austin and said, hey, let's talk about that bullshit State of the Union address, which we only spent like 20 minutes talking about. Because it was trash anyway.
I'm about to say, that's about all that it deserved. That thing was horrendous. And right. And I will say right now, the response to the State of the Union address by Alabama junior senator was somehow worse. It's one of the worst responses to the State of the Union address I've ever heard. It's garbage. And it's bad. I cannot believe they picked this woman to do the response to the State of the Union. There are so many people you could have picked. You could have picked anybody on the planet. I was really hoping that Governor Ivey of Alabama would do it, but no, they didn't do it. They picked a junior senator who is a senator only because she's a Republican in Alabama. There's a glass of water that's a Republican in Alabama, could be elected to the Senate. I can't stand that woman. And to be completely honest with you, I don't know why you picked her. It was really bad. And literally there's no one I've talked to or seen online that thinks it was any good. What a failure. Way to destroy your entire career in politics by destroying the response to the State of the Union. Good job.
Well, dude, when fucking celebrities are critiquing it on like Twitter and their podcast, that says something. I mean, I was listening to a bunch of podcasts and all these guys are like, yeah, Biden's a fucking idiot. And I'm like, oh, it took you, I don't know, 4+ years to figure that shit out. Like, of course he's a fucking idiot. He's always been an idiot. But
yeah, Katie Britt. Garbage response. You're fired. Go home.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's one of those things that they're a piece of shit. Anyway, Alex, because it was so last minute, I didn't think about you until 7 p.m. We had an hour left until we were recording, and I figured if it were me personally, don't ask me to go on a podcast an hour until it starts. Not enough time. So I apologize to you, buddy, because this would have been great to have you on. Maybe we'll have him on the next one. We'll talk about it. Otherwise, we have hit the end of the road, folks. A little bit earlier, but government jobs and shit. If you like what you heard here and you want to check out more, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as well as YouTube and Rumble. That is at The Great Girth Podcast. We're also on TikTok, unfortunately. But please hit that like and subscribe button on the YouTube toggle right there. Again, Spotify is nice, Apple Podcasts are nice, but YouTube is kind of where our traffic's going, so go to YouTube. And thegreatgirthpodcast.com is still under maintenance. That's something that we're slowly working on. But however, thanks guys for listening. Austin, buddy, as always, man, I had a blast, and I will see you on the next one.
Adios.